Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 56, and we're on this series. Today is part 5 of our Following Jesus series. All right, and so we decided that, you know, since Jesus really was the best minister, and when he called his disciples, Peter and Andrew and Matthew and the others, he simply said, follow me. That was his invitation for them to enter into the ministry. He said, follow me. So we're just following Jesus around, and we're going to see how he did it, right? And so today, we're going to follow Jesus as he has an encounter with two individuals, all right? He has an encounter with a man, and he has an encounter with a woman. And both of these people are looking for Jesus, and they're both very desperate for the Lord's healing, for the Lord's touch. So Jairus is the man. He was a wealthy man. Jairus was well-known in his community. All right, I just want to show you the parallel of these two people. So Jairus was well-known in his community. He was a wealthy man. He was a ruler of the synagogue. And Jairus' 12-year-old daughter was dying. All right, the woman was living in poverty. You know, she did not have, in fact, she doesn't even have a name in the Bible. She was dealing with an issue of blood for 12 years. All right, and so there you can see the difference between these two people. For 12 years, the home of Jairus was filled with laughter and joy as he raised his daughter. For 12 years, the home of the woman was filled with sorrow and despair as she lay there ill, suffering. And so we have a 12-year-old girl full of light, full of laughter, who was suddenly dying. And for the same 12 years, we have a woman full of darkness, disease, and depression who was on the verge of getting healed. So these two worlds are colliding, and Jesus is going to minister to this situation. That's what we're going to look at today. This, by the way, you know, you can read this story in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and we're going to choose Luke's gospel because I like some of the details that it brings out, and we're going to just see how Jesus ministers life, hope, and healing to a desperate father, a depressed woman, and a dying child. Amen? Amen. So Luke chapter 8, I'm going to begin in verse 40 because I want to just kind of build the platform of where Jesus was coming from. Luke chapter 8, verse 40, it says, so it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. So where did Jesus return from? That's what I want to answer. Jesus and his disciples had just left the region of the Gadarenes, all right? And it was in this area where there was a demon-possessed man, and he was severely demon-possessed, that this man wore no clothes. He had no home. He lived in the tombs, and they would chain him up because he was so, you know, aggressive, and he would break through the chains. All right, so Jesus had just left ministering to this man and casting a legion of demons out of him. And these demons went into a herd of pigs, and the pigs ran down this hill, and they drowned in the lake. And so the region of the Gadarenes and all the surrounding regions, they didn't want Jesus there. There was something going on. First off, that was their money. They were making money by raising pigs. But they sent him out. They asked him to leave their region. All right, so we have one multitude of people that are resisting and rejecting Jesus. And here we have another multitude of people that are waiting and welcoming him. All right, so this is what he's coming into. Verse 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. So like I said, Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. So this Jairus was a prominent man. You know, he was well-known in his community. He was a highly visible man. He was a prosperous man. You know, so he had a lot of influence in the area. Well, when he found out that his daughter was dying, this Jairus, this prominent man, ran to this radical rabbi by the name of Jesus. And if you can picture this, that it says that he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house because his daughter's dying. He's in a desperate situation. And a prominent figure in the community humbles himself, swallows his pride in desperation, and falls down at Jesus' feet. And you can imagine, right? You can imagine. But this is the thing. He must have heard about Jesus. I mean, by this time, man, Jesus, his ministry was growing. I mean, it says that these people thronged him. And so it says that he went and the multitudes thronged him. See, the thing is, too, is that when this man threw himself at Jesus' feet in total desperation and begged him, come to my house, my daughter's dying, Jesus, it says, as he went. Listen, Jesus, just say this, he can and he will. Yeah, there was no hesitation that he wasn't going to go help this man. But as he went, the crowd thronged him. What that means is that it's just very congested. There's people from all over. They're just like coming around him. It's very congested. They're pressing in on Jesus. In verse 43, it says, now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. She could not be healed by any. So because this woman was hemorrhaging, because she had this issue of blood, then she would have been ostracized. You know, she wouldn't have been allowed or permitted to go into the temple. She wouldn't have been really welcomed, really. She would have been deemed unclean and defiled in the community that she lived in. And so again, let's notice this parallel real quick. Jairus was one of the most visible members of the community. He was well known. The woman was anonymous. Jairus was wealthy. The woman lived in poverty. Jairus was the leader of the synagogue, but because of her physical condition, the woman was forbidden from entering the synagogue. For 12 years, as his daughter grew, the house of Jairus was filled with laughter and joy. For 12 years, the house of the woman was filled with misery, despair, and suffering. A 12-year-old girl full of life, light, and laughter was suddenly dying, and a woman who for the same 12 years, full of darkness, disease, and depression, was on the verge of being healed. All right, so listen, this is a lot of things coming together. All right, so this woman, after Jairus had said, pleaded with him and threw him down at his feet and said, please come to my house, my daughter is dying. As he was going, all these people were really congesting him. He couldn't get through. And this woman came from behind, verse 43, or 44. This woman came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately, her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? I want to camp out here a little bit because this got my attention these last couple weeks. Because it's interesting to me because, listen, they are masses of people pressing in around Jesus. I'm certain that he's getting touched by a lot of people. But there was only one touch that got his attention. Man, there was something special about that touch. And this is what got my attention. I mean, listen, there can be masses of people gathering today all over the world on Sunday to gather around Jesus. All over our city as churches open up, right? All over the nation. There's people gathering all over in churches to meet with Jesus. But he's looking for a special touch. He's looking for a special touch. And so this is what I've been thinking about. There's something special about that touch. You know, so listen, as this woman broke through the crowd of people, and as she was trying to make her way through all of this multitudes of people, when she finally reached Jesus, you know, she didn't try to impress him. She didn't throw herself down at his feet. She didn't even try to get his attention. She basically snuck up behind him and touched the hem of his garment, and that's all it took. Man, what was it about that touch? What was it about that touch? And this is what I have a couple things that I want to share with you about my insights and my personal journey as I'm contemplating, what about this touch? What about this touch? You know, sometimes I think that in order for me to receive from Jesus, man, I gotta discipline myself and go on a prolonged fast and You know, I got to pray more and I got to work harder. And there's and listen, there's nothing wrong with any of that. Do you understand? There's nothing wrong with that. But when I'm considering what's going on with this, a couple things. First off, the woman had to break through the crowds to receive her healing. She had to break through the crowds. And I'm thinking, well, what crowds do I have to break through? You know, what crowds do you have to break through to receive from Jesus? And for me, personally, the biggest crowds I have to break through are my own crowded thoughts. You know, I got to break through my own crowded thoughts. A lot of times when I'm going to receive from Jesus, I got to break through the crowd of unbelief. Yeah? Come on, do you understand? I have to break through the crowd of my own apathy. I have to break through the crowd of these thoughts that would cause me to think, well, that's for everybody else but not me. Come on. We have to break through these crowded thoughts, you know. And so if I can break through the crowded thoughts of my own mind, I think I'll be able to reach Jesus and receive some solace and some relief. Yeah. Amen? And so there's a lot of stuff going on in the mind. But listen, that's not all. There's another thing that I noticed about this woman. And this is really good. Listen, she broke through the crowd. She navigated her way through all of these people. Remember, she's been suffering for 12 years. You know, she breaks through the crowd. She's navigating her way through all of these people. She finally reached Jesus. And she didn't throw herself down in front of him. She didn't wave her hands and say, "Here I am." She didn't even ask. She didn't get his attention. She snuck up behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Everyone say, "She touched him." Say, "She touched him." Say it again. Listen, she touched him. She touched him. She touched him. She didn't wait for Jesus to touch her. And so listen, isn't this the reality? You know, it's what I'm saying, that I'm just walking through these things and I'm recognizing that, man, what are the crowded thoughts that are getting in my way, that are causing me to receive from Jesus? And a lot of times it's because I'm waiting for him to touch me. Yeah. Touch me. Yeah. Come into my situation. Make yourself real now. I need deliverance now. Touch me. Touch me. Heal me. But this woman, she didn't do that. And so if I can break through my own crowd of thoughts that cause me to think that I have to wait for Jesus and even beg him to heal me. If I can break through my own crowd of thoughts that cause me my own apathy and realize that, wait a minute, I can be the one that does the touching. I can be the one. I can be the one that does the touching. And I think that this is what is so special about this touch. This is what captivated Jesus about this woman's touch. Yeah? And Jesus, that's what he's saying. Jesus said, man, if you don't always need to wait for me to touch you. You can take the initiative of your own healing. You don't have to wait for me. You can touch me. Lord's saying, reach out, touch me. Come on, reach out and touch him right now, church. Come on, reach out and touch him right now. Come on, wherever you're at, you've been begging him to touch you, and the Lord's saying, reach out and touch me. You can touch me. You can initiate your healing. You can initiate your breakthrough. Reach out and touch me, he says. And look at verse 46. Look at this. Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me. Listen, I'm telling you right now, Jesus is saying the same thing in real time. Somebody touched me. and his power is being released right now. I'm telling you right now, for your healing to happen right now. I'm telling you. Jesus is saying the same thing. Somebody touched me. As soon as you reached out and you got the revelation that I don't need to wait for him to touch me, I can touch him. As soon as you reached out, he says, someone touched me. And I felt power leaving me to bring healing and deliverance and hope and help to you. Come on, your deliverer has come today, church. It's a good revelation for us. He said, somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me. Verse 47. Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before Jesus. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him. Notice, she touched him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Now, so this woman had to declare publicly what she just did secretly. You know, I mean, just think about this for a moment. Now, this woman, just a moment ago, was declared unclean and defiled. Yeah. You know, so she's sneaking around. She's not supposed to be touching anybody. You know, so she has to declare publicly what she just did secretly. So she makes her way through the crowd. She fights her way to wherever she can get to. She sneaks up behind Jesus and touches her, and she's healed, and Jesus calls her out. Who touched me? Who touched me? Well, there's people all around you. Somebody touched me. Who touched me? Jesus was calling her out. Do you think Jesus was trying to embarrass her?
No.
Absolutely not. Because Jesus is being very intentional right here. Remember Jairus? He's still waiting. He's still waiting. He's the first one that fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him, come to my house. My daughter, she's 12 years old. She's my only daughter. She's dying. And the people throng around him. And then this woman comes, and there's this big interruption. And Jesus is doing something very intentional. He wanted this woman to testify publicly to build the faith of Jairus. Yeah. He knew that when Jairus was able to see this miracle happen to this woman, that his faith would be strengthened. Listen, when I hear what the Lord's doing in your life, my faith begins to grow. Is that right? Listen, there are people around you, people that maybe aren't saved, maybe not even believers, but there's Christians around you. There are people all around you who are hurting, who are doubting, who are questioning, who are desperate. And if you just share how Jesus is moving and working in your life, it'll strengthen their faith. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, testify.
Testify.
Yeah, the Lord's moving in your life, right? And it may not be that he's done a huge miracle. Maybe you're caught in this crowded place, you know, where you're asking and you're going to the Lord and you've been begging him and you've been pleading with him and you've been on your knees and you've been doing all this stuff, and the Lord just brought all this stuff around and said, listen, you don't have to wait to touch me. You can touch me. You don't have to wait for me to touch you. Take the initiative and reach out. And so the things begin to break off us where we recognize that Jesus, listen, this woman was unclean. How many of you are unclean? How many of us, are there anybody in here guiltless? Listen, Jesus doesn't mind your touch. And so this woman was testifying. And look at what happens here in verse 48. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And I love that Jesus calls her daughter. You know, because when she came into the story, she was an unclean woman, defiled with an issue of blood. She's leaving the story as a daughter of the king. Yeah. You know, we have no name for her. You can't find her name, you know. All throughout Scripture, you know who she's known of? Oh, the woman with the issue of blood. But Jesus says, no, you're my daughter. Yeah, you were ostracized. You were set apart. You didn't feel that you could even go into the temple and worship. In fact, you were forbidden to go in the temple and worship. But not anymore. Now you're my daughter. And this daughter word, you know, he said, daughter. He said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. And I was thinking, man, this word daughter also has another powerful significance to it. Because what was Jairus? What's on his mind? My daughter. My daughter's at home dying. My daughter's at home dying. And Jesus said, daughter. You probably got his attention. She's already testifying. And it says, he said, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. You know, Jairus needed to hear that daughter was healed because he's about to get some really, really bad news. Look at verse 49. It says, while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the teacher. Listen, while Jesus was still speaking, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter's dead. Your daughter's dead. Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Jairus, your daughter's dead. Horrible news. The worst news anybody could ever get, right? Verse 50, it says, when Jesus heard it, the Gospel of Mark says, as soon as Jesus heard it, Jesus answered him and said, do not be afraid, only believe and she'll be made well. Yeah, as soon as he heard it, your daughter's dead. Don't be afraid. Your daughter's dead. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Jairus, your daughter's dead. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. He says, don't be afraid. Only believe, and your daughter will be made well. Listen, Jesus is intercepting words of death with words of life before those words that came. Before those words from his synagogue leaders came to tell him. Your daughter said, before those words can get in there and sink into his heart, Jesus intercepted it. Come on, we got to catch this, church, because listen, how long does it take a word of death or fear to move from your head to your heart where it starts to take root and mess with you? Come on, we're to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so you can see the reality. I mean, we have this man and this woman, and they're real people. But, man, I can relate to every single situation. I mean, when I'm thinking about Jairus, you know, he leaves his home. He goes to find this Jesus. He throws him down at his feet. He's desperate. He's begging him, come heal my only daughter. She's 12 years old. She's dying. Please come home. Come to my house. And as he's going, all these people get around him and congest him. He's in a human traffic jam. What's Jairus thinking? I was first in line. What was he thinking? And then this woman gets healed, right in front of him, and he has her testify. Oh, and now he's getting excited. If he healed this daughter, he can heal my daughter. Your daughter's dead. He jumped right in there. He jumped right in there. As soon as he heard it, he stepped in between that fiery dart, that arrow, and told Jairus, don't be afraid. Only believe, and your daughter will be made well. Yeah, come on, man. We need to practice these things because we have crowded thoughts, don't we? I've been dealing with crowded thoughts lately. Now look at verse 51. When Jesus came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her. All right, so what happens, and Jairus was a wealthy man, so when somebody died, they hire mourners. So these are people that are hired to come in and wail. Oh, you know, they're mourning. They're grieving out loud. And Jairus is a wealthy man. Some commentators said there could have been up to 50 people there. And they were hired to do it. We're going to mourn the death of this child. It says, when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep. She's not dead, but sleeping. Verse 53, and they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. They laughed him to scorn. That's what that means. They mocked him. They mocked him. She's not dead. She's asleep. And they laughed him to scorn. They were mocking him. Verse 54, but Jesus put them all out. Everyone say, put them out. Jesus put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, little girl, arise. Listen, before Jesus could enter Jairus' house and perform a miracle, he had to chase out the mockers. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, chase out the mockers. Chase out the mockers. Listen, when your thoughts are mocking you, you know, when your thoughts are sneering at you and chuckling at you, say, yeah, it's not going to happen for you. Chase out the mockers. Yeah, it's a crowded thought. You know, when you're facing something and you got the mockers, you got these voices ridiculing you, but you're not going to finish strong. Look at you. You're going to end up alone, broke, and afraid. You're not going to finish strong. Chase out the mocker. Chase out the mocker. It's all in here. Yeah? How many of you are identifying with what I'm talking about? Yeah, so listen. We don't have to wait for Jesus to touch. Listen, we don't have to beg him, please heal me, please. We can. He doesn't turn that away. But today the Lord's saying, you can do the touching. You can do the touching. You just reach out and touch me. And listen, it wasn't a public event. It was in the public, but she snuck it in there. And he recognized it. He was captivated. That's why he said, your faith has made you well. We can initiate our breakthrough. And, you know, and I'm telling you, it goes against a lot of things that we've learned because, you know, wait on the Lord and you shall renew your strength. Listen, there's nothing wrong with that. But today, the Lord has given us a revelation. You don't have to wait for me to touch you. You touch me. Reach out and touch me. Reach out and touch me. Yeah, and break through the crowded thoughts. Chase out the mockers in your own mind that are telling you, yeah, it's for everybody else, but that's not for you. Chase out the mockers that are laughing at the faith that you want to have. Listen, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, we're in ministry school, and I'm telling you, you should expect signs, wonders, and miracles to follow you wherever you go. Listen, not only through you, but to you. Yeah? I mean, the Lord is all-powerful. And listen, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Jesus made it very clear. The works that I do, you will do. And greater works, because I go to the Father. When I go to the Father, I'm going to send another helper, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who will not only be with you, but he's going to be in you. And the works that I do, you will do. Yeah, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Cast out demons in my name. He's given us authority to operate in these things. But man, we got crowded thoughts that say, yeah, that's not going to happen through you. Mocking you, ridiculing you. Yeah, like he's going to use you. Look at your lifestyle. You're too far gone. Look, you got yourself into this situation. If you would have taken better care of yourself when you were younger, chase out the mocker. Chase out the mocker. Chase out the mocker. Yeah, because this is what happens. Ridiculing. You know, that satanic self sometimes. Not just demons, but our own thought patterns hinder us and limit us. You know, the Bible tells us, we're not going to turn here, but it tells us the Holy One of Israel was limited by unbelief. Jesus was limited in his own town. He could do not many miracles there because of their unbelief. Yeah, so what are we doing? Well, we're breaking through some crowded thoughts. Amen. We're reaching out and touching Jesus, and then we're also recognizing that, man, I gotta get rid of these mocking thoughts and chase them out. Amen. Come on. Listen, do you realize that the Lord wants to give you above and beyond, exceedingly above and beyond what you can ever ask or imagine? That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying to you. Yeah, I want to give you exceedingly abundantly above all that you can even ask or think. That's what I want to give you. And so, listen, I think that there's something about us knowing how to receive that. And I think for many of us, myself included, oh man, if I can just be more disciplined and I can fast more, and if I was a better prayer, you know, if I was, you know, doing this or doing that, man. And the Lord just invites us to come and touch him. Just to approach him, right? Come boldly in the throne of grace. Yeah, that you might find mercy and grace to help you in time of need. Listen, let me ask you, when do you need help the most? When do you need it the most? He said, come boldly into my throne of grace that you might find help and grace, mercy, to help you in your time of need. When do you need help the most? Man, when you're fallen. When you're full of fear. When you failed. The Lord says, that's when I want you to come into my presence. Listen, because of the cross, right, Roger? I love that song, by the way. The cross of Jesus Christ made a way. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, chase out the mockers. Look at verse 55. Luke chapter 8, verse 55. It says, then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. And I really like this, because divine miracles never replace common sense care. I mean, this girl received a miracle. She was dead, and she's alive, and Jesus says, make sure she has something to eat. Yeah, divine miracles never overtake common sense care. You know, one commentator says that, when Jesus healed her and rose her from the grave, he told his parents, make sure she gets some chicken soup. Yeah, so listen, you receive a miracle, but we still got to take care of ourselves. We still got to do what the Lord asked us to do. Amen. Amen. So the Lord is saying, don't be afraid, only believe. He's saying, put the mockers out. The Lord's saying, I desire to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Amen. You get something out of this today? Amen. Amen. Hey, is it okay if can we play that song, the cross song again? Is that okay, worship team? And listen, as they're coming up, I'd like to ask you and invite you. You know, you can stand if you want. You can kneel, but you can sit. But I would like you to have your eyes closed and maybe hold your hands in a position to receive. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your tender mercy. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for your tender care, for your deep personal care for each one of us. Thank you, Lord, that you know all about us and you still love us. And we thank you for the cross. Lord, we thank you for the price you paid so that we can be free. The veil was torn and we have access now to the presence of God. Will you just pray this with me? Say, Heavenly Father, Help us to press through the crowded thoughts of unbelief. Help us to break through the crowd of our own apathy. Help us to chase out the mockers in our own minds. Help us to silence the thoughts that chuckle at the idea that Jesus will do the same for me that we saw him do today. Jesus can, and he will. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your faithful, compassionate, personal, deep, tender care. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Listen, we're going to sing this song, but listen, I want to share just one more little thing real quick, okay? Because, you know, maybe you're in a good season right now. You know, maybe you're in the season before Jairus' daughter got ill. Things are going well for you. But you never know when tragedy might strike. You know, and I don't want you to live in fear, because maybe some of you have been depressed and battling for 12 years. And so you don't know what tomorrow might hold for you. A miracle can happen just right now and blow your mind. All right, so wherever you're at, you know, whether you're in a place of having a good time, you're in a sweet spot, or you're in a place where you've been struggling, listen, my encouragement to you is to prepare in the day of prosperity. So if you're in a good season right now and things are going well, listen, church, this is the time for you to get in your word, to be in the presence of God, to press in, to fuel yourself so that if trouble does come your way, you're ready for it. Amen? And this isn't so that you walk in fear like tragedy can strike any minute. We don't want to walk like that. But the reality is, I think that there's a preparation time in order for us to be able to handle whatever might come our way. And if you've been struggling for 12 days, 12 months, or 12 years, you know, and you're like at wit's end, man, leave here today knowing that a miracle can take place in a heartbeat and turn my situation around. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.